This is the Radio EcoShock special on the one-year anniversary of the terrible triple meltdown of reactors in Fukushima, Japan. I'm Alex Smith. I've covered this story since the day it happened. Find our half-dozen one-hour specials on Fukushima at our website, ecoshock.org. In a few minutes, you will hear two citizen activists from Japan, the voices seldom heard in official media, those who struggle to still live in Fukushima. But we return to our feature speech by nuclear expert Arne Gunderson, delivered at the Fukushima One Year Later conference in Vancouver, March 11th.
In fact, I believe that over the next 20 years, we're going to see about a million additional cancers and other health problems as a result of the accident. That's quite a broad span, from zero with nuclear experts paid for by the industry to a million by me and other independent scientists. Only time will tell, and frankly, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm quite sure I'm not. Now, I get that number from the Three Mile Island accident. People did die after Three Mile Island. There was a result of the trial, Judge Rambo authorized a study. The study showed that there were extra cancer deaths from Three Mile Island. Now, Three Mile Island was 1,000 times smaller than Fukushima, and yet we determined there were extra cancer deaths after Three Mile Island. Now, the judge said, well, yeah, but because the releases were so low, I don't believe that. Well, Dr. Stephen Wing published a peer-reviewed paper, and that's also on our website, the Fairwinds website, where he shows that clearly there's at least a 10 to 20% increase in lung cancers for people that were exposed in the first 10 days of the accident. So based on Three Mile Island, which was 1,000 to 100,000 times smaller than Fukushima, I believe it's reasonable that we'll have as many as a million additional cancers after Fukushima. The other parts of the problem are systemic within Japan. Japan is dispersing the contamination with incineration. Now, what they're doing, as an example, in a school near Tokyo, they found some highly contaminated material. And rather than dispose of that as high-level waste, they diluted it 1,000 to 1 with clean material and put it in incinerators, and then took that 1,000 times more ash and poured it into Tokyo Bay. So they believe that dilution is the solution to pollution. And in fact, what they're doing is they're putting cesium in the soil that will be enormously more expensive to remove later. I think the reason is that the Japanese are protecting Tokyo Electric's financial short-term interests comparing to protecting the long-term interests of their own population. Japan does have an alternative. They can go with the technology of the 21st century, which is distributed generation, smart grids, and renewables, vehicle-to-grid technology called V2G technology. In the 20th century, we didn't have computers in the systems we've got now to integrate a grid. But now in the 21st century, we can distribute our generation, and these distributed smart grids will be the way of the 21st century. So Japan's got a chance. Japan can be an economic powerhouse, and it can export this new technology, or it can go back into the central station paradigm of the 20th century. What I took away from the Fukushima accident is that it's impossible to predict the worst event that Mother Nature or humans in the form of terrorists can do to a nuclear power plant. The other piece is that nuclear power, when things go wrong, which isn't very frequently, but when things go wrong, it's a technology that can destroy a nation. It can destroy it financially or environmentally. So for those two reasons, we've got a high-risk but low-probability technology, but that no one can anticipate the worst Mother Nature can throw at us. In the States, it can be a dam break. In Canada, it can be flooding, or it could be severe storms that knock out power. On and on. There are things we have not anticipated when we build these plants. So my recommendation is over the next 20 or 30 years, let's phase them all out and go with smart grids and distributed generation. I think the future in the 21st century is bright, and it can be achieved with an organized phase out of nuclear power.
That was Arnold Gunderson from the consulting company Fairwinds. The title is The Fukushima Disaster and Its Aftermath and Comparisons to Chernobyl. This was recorded March 11, 2012 in Vancouver, Canada by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. The Fukushima one-year anniversary conference, organized by Physicians for Global Survival, was attended by doctors, experts, and concerned Japanese people. The questions were penetrating. Here is the question and answer exchange with Arnie Gunderson.
Arnie, hi, Erica Frank. Thank you. This was incredibly disturbing and important to hear, and thank you for that. The cesium deposits in the Cedars, are these in your ecosystem in Vermont or in ours here, or how far does that spread, and where are the mollusks and freshwater fish that you discussed? And is anybody in the food industry doing anything to monitor any of these?
Yeah, thank you, Erica. I'm sorry I talked so fast. It's a lot of material to get through. The cesium in the pollen of the male cedar trees is throughout northern Japan. We also have samples that indicate in southern California, we have one sample that also picked up cesium in cedar pollen. It appears that 20% of Fukushima's radiation landed in Japan. 78% landed in the ocean, and 2% landed predominantly in America and predominantly in the Cascades. So the amount of cesium we're seeing in the Cascades is dramatically lower than the airborne cesium that we're seeing in the Cascades is dramatically lower than what we're experiencing in Fukushima Prefecture. I don't even know if it will be detectable when the cedars begin to bud in the United States, but we did have someone send us cedar samples that did indicate in Southern California anyway that we had picked up both cesium-137 and cesium-134. When you find the two of them together, that's a Fukushima signature because cesium-134 is a very short half-life. If it was just cesium-137, we wouldn't attribute that to Fukushima because of the fact that that could be from bombs or Chernobyl. But 134 is a short half-life. Now, on your question about fish, as far as I know, the FDA has examined 200 fish out of the millions that have come into the United States since the accident and found no radiation. The United States government basically is not looking at this problem. I'd also expect, I love salmon, and I'm eating it this year because I don't believe the salmon, that the cesium has worked its way up the food chain yet. I'm concerned that, you know, come about 2013, 2014, we'll begin to see it in the top of the food chain fish like salmon and tuna. But right now, I think it's too early for it to have worked its way up the food chain. So if you enjoy fish, this is your year. I don't know what I'm going to do next year, but hopefully I think the first step is to get the government to analyze more fish. It's possible that the way we'll detect this is when a boatload of contaminated tuna try to come through one of the radiation portals in a port, and we pick it up that way. And that's an unfortunate way of measuring the radiation in the environment. The government's got to do a better job. But even as early as April, the State Department was talking to the Japanese and basically said that they're going to look the other way. Next question.
Yes, Arnie, this is Tom Buchanan calling in from Seattle. I'm here at this event. It's exceptionally informative. I wanted to find out what your personal reactions were with your trip to Japan. Were you surprised at anything that you had witnessed over that week, especially? And what about the sense of criticism, separation between people, citizenry, and the government, the criticism of TEPCO? What was your overall feeling about your perspective on the Japanese and what they're going through right now?
You know, culturally, they are a consensus culture, and they really don't know how to handle conflict very well. Yet the consensus is breaking down, and what I saw was at the citizen level a real distrust for the government. Now, I've seen polls saying it's about 30% to 40% of their citizens no longer trust what the government is saying. in a country that's based on consensus, you know, 30 or 40% who don't buy in is a real problem. The other issue, though, is that the further away you get from the from Fukushima, the less people think their lives are affected. So, you know, I spent 5 days in Tokyo and 2 days further south. By the way, I found radiation even further south. But even in Tokyo, most people think it's over and they survived it. And of course, you know, with the latency periods of these cancers, it's going to pop up 20 years out, and then people will wonder where it came from. I guess I don't pretend to be an expert on understanding the Japanese psyche, so I really don't want to go any further than that. I do believe a significant portion of the population no longer trusts their government.
Arnie, it's Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. I wondered if you could expand a little bit more on the incineration problem. I've read reports in local Japanese press of officials scolding people for not wanting to have contaminated waste trucked into their areas because everyone should share in the burden of Fukushima. And that, it seems to me like they're spreading the radioactive waste throughout the country with this system. Would you comment on that?
You're absolutely right. They are trying to spread the waste throughout the country. You know, now what that does is that if you're going to do demographic data, if you compare Fukushima Prefecture to other uncontaminated areas, you'll be able to get a good handle on the severity of the accident. But if they spread this radiation all over Japan and the country's cancer rate increases pretty much uniformly, it's a lot harder to get good demographic data. I'm not suggesting that that's why they're doing it, but an outcome 20 or 30 years out may be that. You know, we did a calculation on a lined pit, and a lot of the pits that they're putting this in, they claim are lined so that with like a tarp to make sure that the radiation doesn't get out. But even a 2 millimeter hole in a lined pit will release 80,000 gallons of rainwater in the course of a year. So it's hard to imagine you're not going to get a 2 millimeter hole somewhere in each of these liners, and that cesium then gets into the groundwater or the surrounding dirt. Now, I'm pretty clear. My position would be to not to dilute it, but to keep it in concentrated form. And I think you're going to have to dedicate that exclusion zone around Fukushima to be a low-level radioactive dump. It would be better, as far as I'm concerned, to truck it back to Fukushima and store it within a couple kilometers of the site and tell people that they're never going home. It's not going to happen, rather than spread that radioactive material throughout a very beautiful and very populated country.
Yeah, my name is Aya Marumori from Fukushima and Tokyo in Japan. Thank you for your lecture. I have two questions. How can we protect our children, do you think? And number two question is, do you have the plan to come to Japan again?
So how can you protect your children? That's the most important question. You know, the Japanese government is using biological effects of ionizing radiation. And they're saying that on the order, if you go in and it's 20 millisieverts per year, only one out of every 500 people will get cancer. But that's not a true, what happens is that's for a population as a whole. And it's got old people like me. You know, I'm 63 years old, and 20 years from now when I get cancer, the odds are I'll be dead from something else. But what happens is it's the kids that are 5 to 10 times more radio sensitive than that average. So you're talking about if children stay in those zones of, say, 10 to 20 millisieverts, the odds of them getting cancer over a several-year period of being exposed are something like 1 in 10 to 1 in 20 of the children will, by the time they're 30 or 40 years old, develop cancer. For some reason, young women are twice as likely as girls are twice as likely as boys, according to Beer. What can you do? First off, I would not advise going back into a 10 millisievert area, even if the government told me it was safe. But in addition to what they're measuring with their Geiger counters, The biggest problem is that they are not taking into account hot particles, which are, you know, the contamination in the corners of the playground, the contamination that gets on the kids' shoelaces. We've gotten people sending us shoes, and they're highly contaminated. What you can do, especially in the Fukushima prefecture, is get out of certainly the 10 millisievert areas and into the maybe the 1 millisievert areas. And cleanliness is everything. You know, the Japanese leave their shoes at the door, which is a great beginning. But I would vacuum with a high particulate efficiency filter, a HEPA filter. I would wet dust. I would not dry dust. If you wet dust, you'll keep the dust on the cloth, whereas if you dry dust, you'll throw it up again. So it's all about personal hygiene and cleanliness if you decide to remain. The dose readings that the Japanese are, you know, everybody's got these little detectors now, that's only for external, and it doesn't include hot particles. I think that's a public relations ploy, and the best thing to do is to watch out for yourself and stay personally as clean as possible. The other thing is I would urge the people of Fukushima to report, you know, report deformities or stillbirths and things like that. I don't believe the Japanese government wants that information out there. And I realize that culturally that's extraordinarily difficult for the Japanese to do. But if independent scientists are ever to stand a chance here to get good data, we need the Japanese people to step up and tell us what's going on.
That was nuclear expert Arnold Gunderson. Discover a series of helpful videos on Fukushima at the Gunderson's website, fairwinds.com. That is fair, the letter E, winds.com. Now it's time to hear citizen activists from Fukushima Prefecture. We start with a shocking apology to the world from Aya Muramori. She is Executive Director of Health at the Japanese nonprofit group CRMS. Aya volunteers in shelters in Fukushima, meets with doctors, and helps parents create life notes to monitor radiation impacts in their kids.
We come from the CRMS of Fukushima. CRMS is an NGO which is measuring the station of the radioactivity by the citizens. This is a picture showing the simulation done by the French state institution, how the radioactive plume diffused from Fukushima nuclear power plant, how it covered the northern hemisphere. I have known that the danger of the nuclear power plant, but I had not acted enough to stop it. I like to apologize that this has happened, and the radiation has been diffusing to the world still now. We will introduce what is truly happening and what is problem in Fukushima nowadays. There are three major problems: hiding, distrust, no communication with residents. Hiding information, the government didn't inform the risk and existing situation, radioactive contamination at the beginning of the nuclear power plant accident. A lot of residents have been exposed without warning, even when the March last year. Distrust. The government said it is safe. There is no effect of the health. Residents cannot believe that it was safe. Concerned about the impact of the health, especially for kids and babies who are most sensitive to the radiation. No communication with residents. Citizens must accept that the government has decided, they say, we cannot express our concern and anxiety. Fukushima Health Survey began from July last year. Recovery rate of the survey is 20%. The public opinion poll, do you think it's useful or not? The answer is useful 40%, useless 50%. Some people said, I cannot believe this investigate. Some people say, I do not want to cooperate with them. The other people said, I give up. It's too late. This graph is the same as Yasumura, Dr. Yasumura in this morning. This distribution of external radiation exposure under 1 millisievert, about 50%. Over the 1 to 10 millisievert is 40%. Over the 10 millisievert is 71 residents. Maximum is 23 millisievert. It's a children under the 20 years. About 1,000 children under the 1 millisievert, but about 650 children, 1 to 10 millisieverts. One child is 18 millisieverts. This is a public opinion poll. Introduction of some questionnaire of the Asahi newspaper and Fukushima broadcast joint investigation. Question is, do you feel the stress living in Fukushima after the nuclear power plant accident? Yes, feel the stress living in Fukushima are about 80%. And next question is, do you want to move? Answer yes is 34%. Especially parents who have small children, I want to move are over the 50%. What we can do to protect ourselves? Movement of citizens has begun for protecting children from radiation by ourselves.
That was Ayamura Mori from the Japanese NGO called CRMS. Now we hear about citizen efforts to do their own radiation monitoring, helped by donations of equipment from France and Belarus. Watoru Iwata represents the Citizens Radioactive Measuring Stations, CRMS. He gets help from the French group called CRAD, measuring radiation in the air, in food, and in people's bodies.
Hello, my name is Wataru Iwata. I like to brief speech about how we developed the measuring station in Fukushima and how the people were like in the very beginning of, since the beginning of impact of the nuclear plant's accident. And so this is the picture. The last May, I have been to Fukushima since last in the end of April. I've been to Fukushima with the support and cooperation with the French NGO called the CRILAT, and they sent us the two professional measurement devices and 10 of portable devices to pass them on to residents of Fukushima to check by themselves and to determine by themselves what to do. And so this is the picture of measuring with the parents and also with the teachers of nursery and schools. And many of parents of Fukushima asked me to survey for the school and the nursery grounds. And we have checked together, and some of them have evacuated already, and some of them are still working with us. And in this survey and research, and we have done cooperative research with CRILAT in the end of May, we have found out that the food is not controlled certainly in the level of residents. So we have started to begin a project. First, we was using a very portable device to check the food measuring, and we made some lectures to how to measure the foodstuffs. And then now we have 9 food measuring monitoring stations in Fukushima Prefecture and 1 in Tokyo. Also, we are using more sophisticated device donated by many couple. Supporting groups using one high purity germanium detector and also 2 sodium iodine detector. This is in Fukushima City, but we have 8 different measuring stations in Fukushima Prefecture. Also, we have started health consultation with the physicians and pediatricians from the other part of Japan, because the doctors in Fukushima University cannot express they also as a resident, they cannot express their anxiety, or they cannot say against, they cannot say something against something which Fukushima Medical University or Doctors Association of Fukushima decide that they will communicate with the residents with saying under 100 millisievert, which is safe. Actually, for example, Professor Yamashita, like when he communicated with residents, he said there's no any danger under the 100 millisievert. But when he speaks to doctors, he said there's no proof or evidence to prove any health injury under the 100 millisievert, which is very different discourse and makes people really anger. And so we have started in last June to do some health consultation with these advisors, pediatricians. And we have made this life notes, and we distributed to Fukushima parents especially, or people who have moved out from Fukushima Prefecture, and so they can check that their behavior after the accident, and also they can check their medical record of their family to estimate, and no people can estimate by themselves. Since September, we have started to measure contamination in the body with using a whole body counter. This is very easy one to screen, and the screen level is down to 300 becquerels per kilograms. 300 becquerels per body, and so we can check it out. And also, we have made an international conference in last October. Also, we are planning to hold the international conference in June 23rd and 24th, because there's a lot, many different opinions should be, but haven't been reflected and haven't been introduced to the people, that the researchers or scholars working for the government are very one-sided. So actually, we are not stupid. We needed to hear certain debate, and so these arguments will bring people certain menu to choose what to do and what should be done.
That was Wataru Iwata from the Health and Radiation Monitoring Group, CRMS, in Fukushima, Japan. This recording by Alex Smith comes from the conference titled The Fukushima Nuclear Disaster 1 Year Later. It was held in Vancouver, Canada on March 11, 2012. I think this Fukushima story is about much more than the death knell for nuclear power on planet Earth. We can't handle a technology that can destroy an entire country while polluting a whole hemisphere for thousands of years. It's also a case of how big governments gather up to protect the status quo, to minimize and lie about serious problems. They fail to protect their own citizens. Only you and I, organizing at the local level, can ensure survival when disaster strikes. Don't wait. Organize and act now. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring about your world. Drum features in this program by Vast Mandana.